Hopefully you can hear this recording. I'm in a very loud place. I'm holding the mic to my mouth. And I'm intentionally recording it here because I think you'll find the noise very meaningful. For the past 6 months, everyone's, of course, been davening, praying, and thinking about our chayalim. Our yeshiva is drafting 16 overseas students into the IDF this year, Baruch Hashem. Ashreinu Matov Chalkenu. And today about 6 or 7 are going in. They're going in piecemeal. And we took them this morning. This is called the Lishkat Gius. It's in Tel HaShomer. It's in the center of the country. And this is the major depot where all the new enlistees come from all over the country. Religious, non-religious, all sorts of units. Today is an especially busy day because the last 2 days, as far as I know, the Gius, so the enlistments were delayed because of the perceived threats of Matzei Shabbos. Of course, those threats never materialized, but once they had canceled the day, so this is a day on Tuesday, Yom Shlishi, Kitov, in which, Pamayim Kitov, in which all the recruits are coming. So I wanted to speak a little bit about Pesach, but I thought it would be meaningful both for the audience to hear all the chayalim and all the excitement in the background, and to try to connect the Pesach Torah to, of course, this major historical moment. As I just told my Talmidim, as they boarded the bus, they were telling the story, we're writing the story that people will tell Mirz Hashem in future generations. So I'm up to the part of the Pasuk in Parshas Bo, which was cited or included, referenced by the Haggadah. Again, the Haggadah is a four-Pasuk section from Parshas Kisava, Arami Ovid Avi. And the second Pasuk describes our Shiabud. Chazal, to help decipher the word Vayanunu, cite a pasuk from Shmos where a similar term anoso appears. Vayasimo love sere misim leman anoso besivlosem vayiven ari miskenos leparo. Since the word anoso, to torture us, appears in Parshas Shmos, and Vayanunu appears in Parshas Kisava, Chazal cross-linked the two psukim. So I've discussed various aspects of the pasuk, in particular the word Vayareo osanu, the phrase Vayareo osanu. I talked in the previous year about Serei Misim. I'd like to talk a little bit now about Arei Miskinos Pisom and Ramses Arei Miskinos Leparo. Obviously, the Torah describes the buildings and the cities that we constructed for them in very poetic and cryptic terms. Arei Miskinos Leparo Es Pisom V'Es Ramses. Now, first of all, just to clarify, most of modern research has proven that the Jews did not build the pyramids. They were not involved in building the pyramids, but they were involved in evidently not just building homes and palaces and structures, but Arei Miskinos Leparo. They're actually building cities. And the word Miskinos attracts the attention of Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara in Sota. I know the Gemara obviously in front of me, the Zobeis Medrash here in the Lishkat Gius. But one says, I think, and I'm going to think the Gemara identifies who says what, Chad Amar Shemesaknos Es Balayim. One claim that they were called Arei Miskinos because they created peril and danger, and the other is they created poverty. Now, Rashi has two interpretations of this machlokus. When Rav and Shmuel were talking about these cities as either endangering or making them poor, was this a reference to the Jews? And that would be obvious because when you're involved in construction, it's a very dangerous profession. You can fall, you could be crushed. And obviously, it's a very expensive proposition. That would be the simple shot. I think it's Rashi's second shot. It's hard to find a quiet, relatively quiet place to talk here. It's really a rush of people. It's like being in a stadium. But I'm trying my hardest. And the other shot in Rashi, which to me is more intriguing, is that it refers to the Egyptians. Not to the Jews, but to the Egyptians. Now, why were the Egyptians, through enslaving the Jewish people, why would they become poor? Why would they become endangered? So Rashi interprets because ultimately all of their shibud and all of their genocidal plans led to that one climactic moment at the Yam Suf where both they died, they were faced danger of death obviously, and of course they lost all of their money because the Jewish people took all the wealth and the decorations of the horses and the chariots and all the wealth of the Egyptians. And just the irony struck me because when you build a city, you have these great plans, first of all, for stability. Steady life creates security and creates safety in herds. You're not living alone in some forest. You're building a city. You're stabilizing the human condition. And of course, you're looking to become wealthy when you pool resources. That's why in our modern world, we've achieved such wealth because we've urbanized. And instead of living on scattered farms and milking our cows and taking eggs from our chickens, we pool our resources and we create greater wealth, pooled wealth. And of course, part of the challenge of the modern world is to find a way for equal distribution of wealth. Either way, the irony is that their greatest plans to achieve security and wealth ended up in both Sakana, Ari Miskinos at the Yamsuf, and of course ended up in their losing all their wealth. And it's just an irony that as much as human beings try to create cities, Ari Miskinos Lapara, and it takes human imagination, human ingenuity, city life isn't easy, it takes planning, and we see how modern urbanization was only conceivable, was only possible through advances in technology, advances in statistics, advances in city planning. Whatever human beings attempt will fail if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't assist, and in particular if there are sinister and heinous crimes behind those plans, and of course they can boomerang. So the city which was meant to provide security and the city which was meant to provide wealth became Ari Miskinos, became both a threat and ended up in their death, because not in the city obviously, but in a very different location at the Yamsuf, and led to the plundering of their wealth. Okay, all those cheering is each time a different group goes on a bus. So there's a big yelp and a big loud scream from the crowd. It's trying to give you a sense of what the scene is like. It's a very, very moving scene. Parents, again, I'm taking my Talmidim, so they're B'nai Chutzlar, so their parents unfortunately aren't here. So I'm their father for the day. Loud announcements, a lot of food, everyone's eating. This is their last good meal before they join the army. Those who have been there, you can imagine the scene if you have had this chutz to be at this gathering of Am Yisrael, of Knesset Yisrael, Vachenu Kol Beis Yisrael. A lot of hooting, a lot of water throwing at each other. Every time someone gets on, they spritz water on him. Anyway, why were they called Pisam and Ramses? And it's especially a question because it sounds like Ramses already existed in Parshas and Sefer Bereishis when the Jewish people, in the end, I think in Miketz, the word Ramses appears. So how could they build Pisom in Ramses if Ramses already appeared? So Rashi interprets that either the name was Pisom and the nickname was Ramses, or the name was Ramses and the nickname was Pisom. That would be more in sync with Bereishis. The city Ramses already existed but was renamed Pisom. And some of these renamings and nicknames is because it was a very unstable land. And all the buildings that they erected sunk into the ground. And the Jews were forced to build without having any gratification of achievement. As hard as it is to be a slave, at least you take pride in your handiwork, you take pride in advancing, you take pride in building. What happens if you're just doing silly, dumb, meaningless work? According to another pshat in Chazal, b'sivlosam, they made women perform male jobs, the males perform female jobs, and it was a psychological terror to not just strip them of their freedom, but to strip them of their pride and to strip them of any sense of gratification and of accomplishment and moving forward. So without having Rashi in front of me, the words pisal means sinking and the word Ramses means sinking. Again, these would be strange words in Hebrew, but possibly in Egyptian or possibly nicknames. Either way, it struck me that for years we tried to build, and for years, unfortunately, everything we built was at some point dismembered and disassembled and dismantled. And I remember as a teenager, after being in Eretz Yisrael and coming back to my community back in Brooklyn and seeing some of the huge, huge mansions that people were erecting. Again, it's not said judgmentally, it's just my observation. And all of a sudden, this image of Pisom and Ramses and Ari Miskinos hit me. And no matter how much we build, life in Chutz La'aretz is transitory, and life in Chutz La'aretz is ephemeral, and everything ultimately sinks and disappears, communities and shuls. And now I'm standing here in Eretz Yisrael, and I feel like I'm standing here in a location in which we're building the foundations for our future. And it's not Ari Miskinos, and it's not Pisom and Ramses, it's Arim and Mukafas Choma in Eretz Yisrael. If you know what that reference refers to. We're building our cities, we're trying to defend our cities, and we're building the foundations for our future and building the foundations, and sometimes that comes at a very steep price. And today I'm not thinking so much about the price, but I'm thinking about the beauty to be in our land, and literally, it's a hodgepodge kaleidoscope of every single possible Jew you can imagine. Svardim, Ashkenazim, Europeans, Ethiopians. This is the furthest thing from a colonialist, imperialist country. You should see the coloration of our country and of our people here. And the word that everyone has spoken about for the last couple of months, achdus. There's achdus in words, and there's achdus in legs and in bodies and in activity. And right now we're standing here, and I feel blessed to be amongst my people, with my people. I wish we'd be standing in Yerushalayim, and one day we will. But right now we're building the best weekend, and they are the furthest things from Ari Miskin or Saparo. These are cities that we are protecting. These are cities that Baruch Hashem are leading to prosperity for our people, and these are cities that will not sink and disappear.